Writer and guitarist Banning Air recently spent 7 months studying music in Mali. Eventually, he was invited to play with a group of musicians backing a griot singer, one of the oral historians of West African society. As Air explains, he learned a lot about rhythm and melody and about griots.
It was string music, in particular guitar music, that lured me to go and live in Mali. I arranged to study with one of the greatest guitarists in West Africa, Jelamadi Tunkara, who was born into a family of griots and who also plays lead guitar in the legendary Super Rail Band of Bamako. In exchange for an American guitar amplifier and modest fee, he took me in, fed me, let me come to his rehearsals and gigs, and gave me lessons after dinner out on the stoop. Jelamadi presides over a large extended family, including musicians at many levels of achievement. At times, the Tunkara compound is like a chaotic music school in which the same traditional songs get played again and again. Sometimes I heard the most beautiful music, the very sound I longed to approximate, as in this recording I made of the Tunkaras backing Jelamadi's sister-in-law, griot singer Yayi Kanute. While my original intent in going to Mali was to study instrumental griot music, I was quickly reminded that all that elegant picking comes second to the singing and the words. Griot singers are charged with remembering centuries of history and with reminding people of its great lessons. In some cases, griots take on the stature of political orators and revivalist preachers rolled into one. In pre-colonial times, every noble family had one or more griots to recite the family lineage, negotiate sensitive matters with other families, and entertain at events like weddings and baptisms. But today, few families can afford their own private griot, and so to maintain their somewhat glamorous lifestyle, griots have been forced to diversify. Weddings and baptisms still provide bread-and-butter employment, and today's griot singers, most of whom are women, or griots, may sing 3 or 4 of these marathon events every week, each time for a different family. And forget about those pristine musical tones. Although the street parties I was eventually invited to play at with the Tunkaras almost never involved alcohol, after all, Mali is over 80% Muslim, the music was heavily electric and often marred by distortion and feedback as musicians overloaded whatever sound reinforcement they could find. Though they stand in a dusty street beneath a makeshift plastic tent with chickens, goats, dogs, and excited children milling at the periphery, the griots and the crowded circle of guests dress gloriously. The women wear colorful flowing gowns, head wraps rich with embroidery, pounds of shiny jewelry, and high heels. Their faces glow with movie star makeup jobs. Hewing to her ancestral duty as a praise singer, the griot systematically regales the guests, whether she knows the details of their family history or not. Generally, a woman from the family sponsoring the party keeps a list and whispers names into the singer's ear to be sure that nobody gets left out. As the musicians labor through 20 and 30 minute renditions of traditional griot songs, the singer blasts away, and the guests, when they hear their names, rise to dance slowly past her. Praisees and their supporters generally hand hard cash to the griot as they pass. She pauses occasionally to unload a handful of bills into a guitar case or to pass the microphone to another griot in waiting. Through all this, the musicians go into a kind of trance, especially lowly accompanists like myself who rarely get to solo but instead churn out the same riffs endlessly. As the long day fades into evening, the players boost the tempos and the energy, inspiring women to fling off their head wraps and launch into arm-flailing dances. The first time I heard a griot sing Frère Jacques, It came as a surprise. After a few of these parties, though, I learned that the festivities rarely come to a close without it. When the end does come, usually after dark, the music stops abruptly, platters of rice and meat sauce appear, and everyone eats and disperses. The griot divides up the spoils, keeping the largest share for herself and paying each musician what she thinks they're worth. As a beginner, I fell at the bottom of the scale, usually earning between $3 and $5 for the whole 6-hour affair. Well, I was happy to get something, but what about the guests? I often wondered whether they felt manipulated by the griots, who seemed to assume that simply singing a person's name was cause for handing over money. Around Bamako, I heard a lot of talk about how the ancient art of griotism, jelia as they say in the Bambara language, had been debased to the level of meaningless flattery in today's commercial society. And yet, no one can deny the powerful spell these artists still cast over their public. Many of the biggest pop stars in Mali and neighboring Guinea are griots who simply adapt their traditional repertoires with drum machines and backup singers to create pop hits. And for my own part, no matter how grueling, brash, or even dull a Sunday wedding or baptism might have been, my ears and my interest always pricked up again when Jelamadi took his acoustic guitar and headed out to the stoop for our evening lesson. It was there, one-on-one with the master, that I would measure my progress from the long hours of practice and marvel at how much I still had to learn.
Banning Air, he's the co-author of Afro Pop, an illustrated guide to contemporary African music.